as pure as her gown of white, she stood by my side and promised that she'd love me till the day she died.
Hello and welcome to The Drew Show. Each week, The Drew Show will provide you with the best live celebrity interviews in the country today in entertainment, sports, and family. Call 818-495-6928 when the phone lines open to speak with The Drew Show and their guests. And now your host, Andrew.
Hello, everyone. I am your host, Andrew. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in today. We have had some great shows previous. We have set some record high numbers for our listeners, and I know we're going to do that again today. Thank you all so much. Please continue to check us out on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at DrewBTR. Please check out our website, TheDrewShow.com. I know TheDrewShow.com has not been updated in the last probably about 2 or 3 weeks. It crashed actually recently, and we're trying to get everything back up now, back up and running, but hopefully that should be done today, so we're really looking forward to that. But TheDrewShow.com, check us out. We have a Facebook fan page as well. It's Facebook.com/WAEJ The Drew Show. Or you can look up the Facebook link. It's in the description of this episode as well. Again, thank you all so much. It's always such a pleasure for you to listen to the show as well. Today we have an amazing show today. I grew up listening to this guy. He's been such an inspiration to me, to many of my friends, my family. I know the world. We welcome to the show an American patriot who has the hit that everyone knows and loves, God Bless America, which has been on the top charts many, many times, including 9/11. Our guest for today also has a book coming out this month entitled Does God Still Bless the USA? It gives me such pleasure and honor to welcome to the show today Mr. Lee Greenwood. How are you, Mr. Greenwood?
I'm fine, thank you. I appreciate Drew having me on the show. I did want to make a point before we go any further that I didn't write God Bless America. The song I have called God Bless the USA. There's not really much designation between America and the United States of America, except for the title of the song. And a lot of people say that, where God Bless America was made famous by Kate Smith years ago, and she got to be known as the American icon of her generation. So I don't want to be confused with that.
Yeah. You know, I have that right in front of me, and I do apologize. I have it right in front of me. Does God Still Bless the USA? And God Bless the USA. I can't believe I said it. I apologize. that's always awkward, start off a show getting something wrong. But first of all, well, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, it's such a pleasure to have you on.
All right, thank you.
Well, so first of all, you started playing music when you were 12 years old, and I bet a lot of people don't know this about you, but you actually passed up the opportunity to play professional baseball. So what really inspired you to stick with music, and what was it that you knew you could do this forever?
I was raised in Sacramento by my grandparents because my father and mother were divorced because my father joined the Navy in World War II as a result of Pearl Harbor. It did cause an awful lot of turmoil with a lot of families, but I respect them both for the decisions they made, and my mother, in order to have me have a good upbringing, sent me to the farm in Sacramento, California, and I was inspired by lots of things. Hard work on the farm, athletic. I loved all sports. I was too short for basketball at the time, so I played baseball. I developed into an all-star during my high school years. But the music that I played, because it was in my blood, and my mother and father were both players. My mother was a better musician than my father. She played piano and mandolin and sang, and my father played the woodwinds. But wow. As I developed in school, my teacher saw the talent emerging and gave me many opportunities to excel. I had music theory while I was still in high school, and I played two and three nights in clubs, and I just played everywhere I could play. So music sort of took over my life by the time I was a senior in high school, and I decided that was going to be it for me and not college and not baseball. And so I just pursued that with a passion. I went to Nevada, which is our neighboring state there outside of California, and I started playing in Reno and then Las Vegas. And I stayed there almost 19 years before I finally found my niche, and that was to move to Nashville eventually and have a country music career.
Right. Well, and you've never looked back since. It's been an amazing career. Now, what position did you play in baseball?
I was shortstop and outfield. I didn't really have the arm to hit a home plate from outfield because that would eventually work against me, but I had the speed to run down a ball. And so I was really good in catching fly balls. But in shortstop, I was quick enough to make all of those infield plays, and that was a great spot for me in the lineup. I was usually fourth in the batting order.
Oh, wow. Well, God Bless the USA has been voted the most recognizable patriotic song in America. You wrote God Bless the USA in your tour bus in 1983. Tell us the story behind writing this song.
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, any other song I've ever written. You know, I get an idea, and it develops into a phrase, into a lyric, into a line, a thought, a theme. I apply some music to it, different kinds of tempos. Abstract at first and then getting more solid. The difference with USA and all of the other songs I've ever written was that I wanted to write this song since I was back in Nevada. I mean, 30 years ago. I mean, I had a passion for writing it. And here in 2013, next year, it'll be 30 years since I wrote it. So it's hard to look back again and reflect on why I wrote it, except for the fact that at the same reason I'm writing this book, Does God Still Bless the USA, and I'm jumping ahead of you, is that the song God Bless the USA was for uplifting and for unity, to make this country feel good about itself. Hence the line in the middle, I'm proud to be an American, which everybody calls it rather than it's a real title, God Bless the USA. And that's okay because they're written together on the sheet music like that. But I'm thrilled that it's had the longevity it's had, and as we approach this next level, this next plateau in our career, I just thought it was necessary to bring up the book, and we can talk about that.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to write God Bless the USA?
half an hour. I mean, when I got home, I finished it and took it to my producer. At the time was Jerry Crutchfield, who was head of MCA Music, and we created about, I'd say, 25, 26 albums together while I was at MCA and Capitol Nashville. And it was a thrill working with a great professional and an artist who let me do mostly what I wanted to do, but always through great advice. We chose the right songs and the right feeling for me and the right image for me as an artist.
Right. And I think I actually read somewhere where you never really expected, God Bless the USA, you never really expected it to have the magnitude that it did you?
Well, I don't think that's entirely true. When we leave a studio, we always know we're going to have a hit. Every artist, everyone in the studio says, that's going to be a great hit, you know. It's the fans that tell you yes or no. Well, when I first put it on stage that year before it had ever gone to radio, I tested it on the audience, and it was just an overwhelming response. Not just like you might do with the Zac Brown Band or Kenny Chesney or anybody of today who, you know, like in the days when I first got on the charts and I first started getting in front of audiences, and every song you play is an immense hit because the audience loves you and they love what you do. There are some exceptions to that. Maybe Terry Gibbs, when she had her second record after Somebody's Knocking, she released a jazz tune called I Want to Be Around, and it was the end of her career. Generally, if you're smart enough and you release the right song second and third, and the song you played before we came on the air was called Ring on Her Finger, Time on Her Hands. Right. That was a bigger hit than our first one, but the first record, Inside Out, lasted longer on the charts. So it just depends, you know, if you've got wise enough people around you to advise you which record to release. So God Bless USA, you know, I knew it was going to be a monster hit. I think the only thing that has surprised me, Drew, is the longevity of its popularity and how many generations it has touched now. I'd say at least three, maybe four, because I know World War II veterans who are dying at an enormous rate now, and there's not many of them left, who recognize that to give to their children, to give to their children, to give to their children.
Wow.
All the way from elementary schools to senior citizens, they know the song, they sing the song along with me when I do my shows. I meet people in airports and public places, and I'm revered for doing it. And it astonishes me sometimes how many people know me through that one song.
That must make you feel amazing that people pass that down and how they remember it like that. I want to mention this before we get into your book as well. I know that there was some conflict recently with a school in Massachusetts. They changed the name of God Bless the USA to We Love the USA, and this was an elementary school. And I loved a statement that you made that said, "We can't take God out of the song. We can't take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. We can't take God off the American currency." How does it make you feel that so much is being taken away from American schools and the general public?
Well, I understand the theory about moving forward with society. I mean, the world gets faster and we try to keep up. I got trouble with my remote. I give it to my 16-year-old and I just didn't fix it. It's a different kind of generation. The world does move faster. We talked about that when I was in school in the 60s, how the world was beginning to move faster. It's at such a rapid pace now that news today is not news tomorrow. But the school system there in Boston, they didn't really change the title of my song. They changed the lyrics to reflect or not to reflect the presence of God. And that's what the parents took reservation with. When I was asked to do a press release, it was only as a response to what had already happened. And that is the parents of the children pressured the school to do the right lyrics. The school backed off and took the song out of the program, which even made them more irritated, and then they forced the school to put the song back in the program. They did so with its entirety and sang it as it should have been. As a footnote to that, it's not right or left here. We're not liberal or conservative in this particular instance. This same school wanted to make St. Patrick's Day Green Day. So you can see sort of a pattern of how they wanted to be politically correct and conservative in their approach to life and to teaching. But I would have said from the very beginning, as I did in my press release, I was surprised that this particular educational institution was not wise enough to know that you can't change lyrics of a song because of copyright. And that kind of surprised me. However, Drew, if you instruct your fans, your fan base, your listeners, to go to my website, LeeGreenwood.com, or my Facebook through that, you will see a personal message that is a little bit more pertinent to my personal feelings on the subject. So it's not just a press release that I released for Fox.
Okay, well, great, great. And, you know, I remember in school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance. We would sing songs that had God in it. We would pray in school, inside and out, around the flagpole, or in, have the moment of silence in the classrooms and all that. And it just seems to me that the government and everyone wants to give the non-believers what they want, and the people that still believe have no rights at all. And it seems it's very sad and upsetting. It really is.
Well, yeah, I get that feeling sometimes too, because I'm a Christian and I express those views throughout my book. On page 46 in my book, I make reference to Marie O'Hare, who took full credit for the Supreme Court decision on prayer, which was a ruling that shocked the Christian community because it put them on notice that the fight was beginning to take God out of everything. But it's interesting that the court that said, yes, we can take God out of a prayer if it means something, but because, and the court said, it's irrelevant, we're going to rule that it stays in. And you know what? The Supreme Court, at the beginning of every session, says, God save the United States in this honorable court. And then they went ahead and talked about the relevance of God. You know, it's like it becomes more political than anything. As a presidential appointment to the Supreme Court for life, you can see how an administration which the popular vote votes a president in has the power to change doctrines and change the culture without the consent of the public. And I think we've got a sleeping population of Christians, which is why I wrote the book, Does mm-hmm. God Still Bless the USA, in order to awaken the American patriots and the Christians who believe that the traditional values of America are being brushed aside.
Right. Absolutely. And you have an amazing new book out. You know, before I even picked this up to read it, I saw the title, Does God Still Bless the USA? And I was automatically caught by the title. I love the title of this book. I mean, it's, you know, I think anybody will pick it up just by the title, and it's so out there and it's so deep that anyone needs to read. Now, it's a 216 page publication, which includes a 30-day devotional, Prayers of a Patriot. Also included with the purchase are two exclusive free downloads, which I love as well. It's a brand new version of God Bless the USA. Say, I said it right, God Bless the USA.
Thank you.
and Show Me the Way, which is available through tapepublishing.com. So tell us about this book. What went into writing it?
First, let me tell you about Show Me the Way, which is a praise and worship song. And it's one of only about three or four I've ever written, but it displays and sings the wonders and the glory of Christ. And so I'm really proud of this, and so people who want to download that song, it's pretty cool. Also, the Prayers of a Patriot in the back of the book, it's a prayer calendar, and my wife actually wrote that at my request, and each one is backed up by a scripture. Now, to answer your question, the reason I wrote the book, again, it's for trying to tie the United States together and uplift us. There's a chapter inside the book, and it's pertinent this year in 2012, just for the fact that this is a voting year. And one of the chapters is, seriously, does my vote count? There's lots of times in history in the United States, you can remember the days of the hanging chad in Florida, if you're that old, where an election was affected by less than 100 votes. And it can happen across the United States. So if you think your vote doesn't count, it's not about that as much as it is about if you don't vote, there's a possibility you will lose the right to do so. So no matter who you vote for, you must vote. I'm just shocked when we get 50 to 60% of the population voting when we should have at least 90% voting. I can see that maybe 10% might have trouble getting to the polls. What's that, 10, 15 million people? However, the rest of the country, to protect the right to vote, must vote. There's also a chapter on integrity, which is, of course, as you know, the media just thrives on people in the news, whether it's athletes or people in the media, politicians, who have done something immoral. And so I talk a lot about that. And I give also reference to Tim Tebow, who displayed his faith on the field, who played for the Denver Broncos. Now he's been moved to, the Jets, I think?
Right.
The Jets. Mm-hmm. And they had a media frenzy over the fact that he just bowed his head and gave thanks to God for letting him play the game. So that was pretty cool. I have a thing about my family in one of the chapters that both my sons, who are now 17 and 13, Dalton and Parker, respectively, and my wife, Kim, actually give quotes of their own about my life and about our life as a family. So there's an awful lot in the book. The very first chapter, I'm not over 9/11. That may be my inspiration for writing the book, because like World War II, that influenced my father to join the Navy, 9/11 will influence me for the rest of my life. I understand America changed at that moment. We no longer have the freedoms that we had before, and if that was the terrorist objective, they certainly achieved that. But I think we'll be stronger because we're now more aware. There is that danger of taking our rights away because we are so watching each other and watching our neighbors to find out if any one of them is a terrorist. I mean, it gets ridiculous sometimes. But at the same time, we are a little more protective, a little more secure, and so that's a trade-off. And that's probably the inspiration for me writing the book at this time in history.
Right, right. Now, I absolutely love the part about your book. At the end of each chapter, there's a letter from people telling you what God Bless the USA has meant to them. I love that part of the book.
Yeah, in the days when people used to send letters, I would get so many letters and I'd have to discard them. Thousands and thousands. Now we get emails, they're a little bit easier to read and get through them quicker. And we convert a lot of them to hard copy that we save, of course. But the ones we put in the book are just gut-wrenching. I mean, you know what they are. I mean, they're talking about either a military family who is proud of who they are, or a Gold Star family who has lost a son or a daughter in the war on terror, or just a veteran who appreciates America and its soul and what it stands for. And they're thanking me for just backing them up, you know. And so... So we put a lot of those letters in after every chapter just to give a little bit of inspiration to the reader.
All right. And you must be so proud, even by the endorsements from this book. I mean, you've received endorsements by President George W. Bush, Reba McEntire, Sean Hannity, Chuck Norris, so many others. That must feel pretty amazing to have that as well.
It does. I also included an endorsement from my pastor, Randy Davis, who was my pastor when I lived in East Tennessee at the First Baptist Church in Sevierville. He's now the executive director and treasurer for the Tennessee Baptist Convention here in Nashville, and I wanted to include that. Michael W. Smith and Charlie Daniels both called me and said, we want to write an endorsement for your foreword for the book. I was just thrilled, and so I've included those as well.
Right, and like I said, this is something that everyone should pick up. Does God Still Bless the USA? And they can find this on your website, LeeGreenwood.com. Now, I want to talk about in a few months, you also have a new EP coming out called I Want to Be in Your World.
Yeah, I'm excited about this EP. It's the first CD we've produced in 3 or 4 years, and I just thought it's time to have a little new music out. I wrote 3 of the songs, including the title, I Want to Be in Your World, this year. The other 2 represent 2 other decades. Wounded Heart from about 10 years ago, and Here Comes Love, There Goes My Heart from 20 years ago, which I actually play the sax on, which is my main instrument. I play soprano on as the lead into the song. The other 4 are country songs, and all produced by a friend of mine, Butch Baker, who's a great talent here in Nashville. And there's one of those is called... You Can Let Go Now. I actually retitled it I Can Let Go Now, which it would have worked either way, and Michael McDonald told me it was okay with him. But he and Kenny Loggins wrote the song together, and I found out on one of their Doobie Brother albums years ago. So they both came in town. Michael lives here, and Michael came to the studio and played piano for me. So if you listen to the cut, it's just me and Michael in the studio together, and we only did 2 takes on it. It came out pretty magic.
Wow, I imagine it did. And like I said, everyone can find all this information about you on your website, LeeGreenwood.com. This amazing book, I mean, I think everyone should pick this up. I absolutely love it myself, Does God Still Bless the USA? And your new EP, as we said, is coming out in June, I Want to Be in Your World. I know we're running out of time. I want to quickly tell you, I know you just recently had your 20th anniversary with your wife, Kim, so congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Kim is a former Miss Tennessee, and as I said, she was inspirational for me and instrumental in getting the book done. It took us about a year. She's my senior editor. She was a college graduate with English and communications majors, and so she was very helpful in helping me structure, along with Rita Tate, who's our publisher in Oklahoma, who was a biblical scholar and helped formulate the ideas and put them into paragraphs. But my wife and I share the two sons here in Tennessee where we live. She is also a pageant director for the states of Tennessee, Georgia, and Mississippi, Greenwood Productions. And she has a full-time job, and that company, of course, is Miss Universe, owned by Donald Trump and NBC. So we have an interesting life, but we celebrated our 20th anniversary, as you pointed out, and went out to California in my former home in around Sacramento. We went to actually Sonoma, Napa in the wine country and had just a wonderful getaway, which, you know, married couples have to do that in order to keep their romance and their love alive, and we do a good job of that.
That's amazing. And as I mentioned, everyone can check out your website at leegreenwood.com. Now, I know you mentioned Facebook a moment ago, so what is your Facebook page? Do you have Twitter as well?
Yes, and they're controlled through my website. So if you go to the website, you can see the Facebook address and the Twitter address.
Okay, great. Mr. Greenwood, it is such a pleasure having you on the show, sir. Thank you so much for coming on with me.
All right, Drew. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
That was God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. I want to thank him so much for being on our show today, and I do apologize once again for getting the name of the song wrong. I said God Bless America instead of God Bless the USA. I guess that just shows you I'm human, and mistakes can happen. But I do apologize. But thank you all so much for listening to the show today, and we appreciate all your support. Please check us out, thedrewshow.com, as well as Twitter at DrewBTR. And look us up on our Facebook fan page. The Facebook fan page link is in this show's description. Again, thank you all so much. Bye-bye.